Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we did get some injury updates from Mike Schilt after the day off, before the game yesterday. If you caught those on Sammy Levitt's pregame show, some good news, especially as it relates to one Xander Bogaerts. It's Ben and Woods. Welcome back. Xander Bogaerts had a CT scan on Monday, and the results were good. Doctors say he's good to go, ready to start a rehab assignment, likely in the next day or two in El Paso. And Xander thinks if all goes well, in about a week, he should be ready to come back to the Padres even before the All-Star break, possibly
for that
final series against the Atlanta Braves before the break.
Okay.
That was a small piece of good news that the Padres got yesterday on the injury front. You also saw Luis Camposano had his second day of rehab for the Lake Elsinore Storm, caught the game, and hit a three-run home run from his knee.
Yeah, dropped down the old Reggie Jackson, or Adrian Beltre swing, where you swing so hard you drop down to a knee. I don't recommend it. Not if you're 48.
If he can do that, the thumb seems to be feeling better. So I would imagine that you'll see Campy back with the Padres fairly soon as well. So those were the kind of good updates. There were kind of non-updates on Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove. God, they're both throwing. Joe, kind of long toss. You getting back into his throwing program, but no timetable yet on when that means they could return. Obviously, Joe can't come back until at least the end of July since he's on the 60-day injured list. You could come back at any time. Yu Darvish could come back. He served his 15 days, but he's going to have to probably have at least another rehab start at some point after they shut him down with the elbow soreness the first time he was coming back from the, the groin was the most recent one that he was dealing with.
It was neck.
Neck, then groin.
Groin.
Then elbow.
Then elbow.
What's
next? Butt. Glute.
Playing Operation.
Yes. What is next?
I think kind of more hidden concern, and it's hidden because he's still playing and he's in the lineup. Manny Machado was not at third base for the third straight game yesterday and fourth time in the last five games after he had been out there fairly consistently.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd been getting him off his feet every few days, you know, every three or four days they give him a DH day. Now that's three in a row, four out of five that Donovan Solano's been at third. Manny, of course, downplayed it, said, this is just part of the strategy to keep me as healthy as possible through the season. Obviously still dealing with the recovery from the elbow and the hip flexor injury that cost him, a few days earlier this season as well. But, I mean, you just have to wonder, like, okay, how is Manny really feeling? He also went over 3 with 3 strikeouts yesterday.
I wonder what his, somebody that's smarter than me, go look up what his splits are, position, you know, when he DHs and when he plays third. The recency bias tells me that he's mashing a lot more when he's in that playing in the field, which doesn't surprise me at all. Luis Arraez, who's a great hitter, said he doesn't like to DH at all. With Xander coming back, I don't know why. I'll just say it, and I'll probably get it thrown back in my face. I have a good feeling about Xander Bogaerts coming back. I don't know why I do. I just have a good feeling about it. I
can't really get any worse.
Nowhere to go but up.
Here are your numbers, by the way, for Manny. As a designated hitter,
am I wrong?
170 at-bats. He has a .247 average, .297 OBP, .400 slug. That's a .697 OPS with 7 homers, 23 runs batted in. As a third baseman, 138 at-bats, has a .290 average, .340 OBP, .413 slug, .753 OPS, only 3 homers, but 22 runs batted in. So he's been more productive as a third baseman. Now, he's also played more third base in the last month when he got healthy, when he was on a hot streak. What? I don't know if one...
That's the thing. What's the correlation
or causation?
Right.
Not sure on that one, but... And he has been hot lately. I mean, you're trying to keep his bat in the lineup as much as possible. It didn't happen yesterday, but those are the numbers that you asked for. So there they are.
Am I insane that I have a good feeling about Xander Bogaerts?
No.
I just do. I don't know why it. I don't know why I do, but he was scuffling so badly the beginning of the season, the position change and everything else. Being around this team, and he's stayed with the team. He's been with the team. He was involved in all the stuff last week with the Nationals. That picture of him grabbing Manny by the face was awesome. Like, he seems very engaged. I may be an idiot, but I'll wear it if I'm wrong. I've been wrong a million times before. I feel like he's going to come back and play pretty well for us. I do. And it seems to be the healing and the mentally, like, getting that time off to say, all right, man, I'm watching these guys like grind hard to stay where they are. I want to be a part of this. I do need to be a part of it. They're counting on me. The only thing is, with him coming back, and I would imagine they'd probably be fairly, you can DH him too. As long as Manny's like playing third, you can DH him.
Well, you're going to have to rotate people around.
You are.
And if Manny needs to DH, you have a problem. Now, let me get into that. First, let me throw out the phone numbers for Take on Woods. I want to try to qualify for Las Vegas. Musical trivia coming up against Woods, 833-288-0973. Call now, 833-288-0973. So if Manny continues to have to DH on the regularly.
Yes, that, I know it on the reg.
That means you're going to have to take either Xander, Luis Arraez, or Jake Cronenworth out of the lineup every single day.
Which sucks.
Because you can't play all of them, or Ha-Sung Kim, but you can't play all of them every single day. You have five infielders who are everyday starters when Xander comes back in Manny, Kim, Xander, Jake, and Arraez.
Yep.
And one of them has to DH. Four of them play the infield every single day. Correct?
But yeah.
But if Manny's DHing, I guess you can move Kim to third and then Xander back to short. Do you want to do that, though? I mean, you went through all the trouble of trying to move him to second.
Are you going
to bounce him around to the middle of the infield? And then you say, okay, then you could put Jake at short and leave Xander at second. That seems weird. Arraez is not your best defensive player. Putting him at DH seems like your best option. Like, Arraez DHing, get your best infielders all in the infield playing, but that requires everybody to be healthy enough to play the infield every single day for the most part.
Does any of this, like Xander coming back a little sooner than we may have thought originally, have any impact on Ha-Sung Kim's future?
I've been thinking a lot about Ha-Sung Kim's future with the team. And, you know, I
not advocating for it, by the way.
I saw a lot of people saying, well, trade him to this team and that team. And, you know, you have to remember,
there's no actual rumors. I know I brought it up.
No, yeah, everyone
but
is.
That's not an actual rumor that, you know, Kim is on the trade block.
Right.
But he's a free agent at the end of the year and the trade deadline's coming up.
But it would be foolish for AJ to not at least take any calls, because this is a guy that is going to walk at the end of the year.
More than likely, yes, he's going to walk. You're probably not going to pay him what he wants. But the teams that need a shortstop are in your division. And if you want to trade Ha-Sung Kim to the Dodgers, or you want to trade Ha-Sung Kim to the Giants, perhaps, those are the teams that probably need him the most. That doesn't seem like smart business. I mean, the Giants are heating up. Giants just took two or three from the Dodgers. I believe they won again last night, if I'm not mistaken. They were leading, and I went to bed. So I don't know that that's the smartest thing. You're not going to trade him over to a team in the AL that doesn't need a shortstop. Nobody's looking to pick up a half-season rental.
I mean, you could probably narrow down the teams. They have to be a contender, and they have to need a shortstop.
Second
baseman.
And, you know, Kim's defense hasn't been at its best this year at short. So maybe he does become super sub type and moves over to third and Manny DHs. And I think that helps out a lot. And then Xander, hey, I know we just moved you 6 months ago. You're going back to short. Like, I wonder what that would do for him. I just feel like Xander's going to come back and contribute. I don't know why. I just have a gut feeling. But my gut's been wrong so many times about this team. I think everybody's gut's wrong.
I mean, too many good players is a great problem to have. It just seems like a common A.J. Preller theme.
Correct.
That he's got all these players, and he's not sure exactly how they fit together.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where we're heading.
Yeah.
With the Padres again. Now, it doesn't have to ruin chemistry and ruin karma, but we've seen it, like, maybe doing that in previous seasons sometimes.
You already have Luis Arraez playing out of position, at least in his mind. In his mind, he has said, I'm a second baseman. I saw his clip in the locker room saying, yeah, you know.
And he really doesn't want to DH.
He does not want to DH.
But that's the best place for him.
Correct.
Given everyone preferred type level.
Correct. And so now you've got, again, another guy that's kind of out of position, kind of not happy.
So Xander, Luis. I mean, Jake doesn't seem to care, which is nice.
Care.
Kim, they put it short because metrically he is the best shortstop, even though he's not having a great year.
Right.
And Manny's metrics aren't great, but is he healthy enough to play third on a regular basis?
Right.
And Solano has been good enough that you want to have his right-handed bat in the lineup, at least against lefties.
That's exactly right. So, again, a little bit of Cadillac problems, but Cadillac problems are still problems.
All right, we got some callers on the line. Let's get to today's game. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
All right, Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go to the line three today. Is this Christy?
Yeah, it's Christy. I forgot we were playing the game right now.
Oh, you are. All right, hang on. That's all right. If you don't want to play, we can go to James. James, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Christy passed, so that's fine. We can bring you on a little bit later, Christy. James, you are a contestant today in Take on Woods. You have an opportunity to be the first to qualify this month for our getaway to the Rio Las Vegas. Two-night stay, dinner for two, day bed at the Rio Pool. The Rio is back, new ownership, newly remodeled rooms. Book now at riolasvegas.com. Here are your category choices today. James, you've got Give 'Em a Hand, five song titles, including the word hand. We got Rush, all about the band Rush, and we've got 1984 soundtracks. So Give 'Em a Hand, Rush, or 1984 soundtracks, James?
Let's go with 84 soundtracks.
84 soundtracks. All right, this one is all about, as you can imagine, soundtracks from movies that were released in the year 1984. Really a good year for me and Woods. I'd imagine he'll do fairly well on this one. But James, you know what? If you get five right, you can't be stopped in Take on Woods. So good luck to you. We'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it at the end of the time. First question's the two-second song. You need to identify the artist and the song title, which also happens to be a movie title as well, to get that one right. James, are you ready to play?
Let's go.
Paul, you all queued up? All right, 60 seconds on the clock.
Let's do it.
The category is 1984 soundtracks. James, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
I've been working so hard. Kenny Loggins, Footloose.
Correct. Ray Parker Jr. had a 1984 smash with his theme.
Ghostbusters.
Correct. Harold Faltermeyer won a Grammy for his theme named after the lead character in which Eddie Murphy classic?
The song was Axel F. for Beverly Hills.
What's the movie? Correct. Tom Cruise dances around the house in his skivvies to Bob Seger in which 1984 coming-of-age film? The band Toto composed their one and only film soundtrack for which epic space classic based on a Frank Herbert novel?
Right stuff?
Incorrect. Tom Cruise dances around the house in his skivvies to Bob Seger in which 1984 coming-of-age film?
You know it.
You know what? Woods might miss the last one, which is Dune, the original Dune. He's not going to miss Risky Business, though. James, you can hold on. Three? I think
Woods
it's going to be good enough.
Four.
I think he's going to get at least four here. We'll see. He doesn't get the category, but I don't know that'll make a big difference. All right, James's score is locked in. Let's reset our song, put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on James.
That is Footloose by Kenny Loggins.
Correct. Ray Parker Jr. had a 1984 smash hit with his theme song for which summer blockbuster?
It's Ghostbusters.
Correct. Yeah. Harold Faltermeyer won a Grammy for his theme named after the lead character in which Eddie Murphy classic?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Correct. Tom Cruise dances around the house in his skivvies to Bob Seger.
Risky Business.
Correct. The band Toto composed their one and only film soundtrack for which epic space classic based on a Frank Herbert novel?
I love Frank Herbert.
I knew this would be the toughest one for you. I predicted this.
Tron.
Oh, good guess. No, it's Dune, the original.
Dune! Damn it.
But 4-3, woo! As we surmised, Woods gets the win in 1984 soundtracks.
You know that Footloose is my number one movie of all time.
Is it?
It's my favorite movie.
Really good soundtrack.
Of all time.
Not just that song, but
Almost Paradise. We're knocking on heaven's door. The best.
It is a really good.
It's a great movie.
Really good music. Very good movie. Liked all those movies, actually. Yeah. Well, Dune's. The new ones are actually better than the old one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dune. The original Dune was kind of a flop. But I didn't know that Toto did all the music for that movie.
Either.
Yeah,
did not either.
And then iconic Tom Cruise dancing.
Yeah, the movie's awesome.
In his undies.
That movie's. Son of a bitch, Folly. The immediate power down. When I. Dude, we did like an hour on that song one time.
Yeah,
all right. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No qualifiers yet. We're off the next couple of days, so we'll go into next week with a fresh, clean slate on the trip for Las Vegas this month.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, we'll come back. We got Don't Do This.
All right, man. All right. I feel like I have to be very delicate with this next story, but it is a huge, huge story going on in baseball right now. And if you've seen the show Baby Reindeer, it has come to life. It has come to life in Major League Baseball. You're playing my Footloose video on our live stream. Yeah. So good.
You ripping heaters.
Ripping heaters in there. Yeah, I reenacted the scene from Footloose.
You know what? And we have to be fair in Don't Do This. We actually have an Odyssey colleague who's in the crosshairs today.
Now, out of market, Odyssey
not,
colleague.
Out of market. Out of market. It's not Chris Ello. Or
no, thank God.
Annie Heilbrun.
No.
It's not. Far away
this
from
is,
us.
This is very...
A story that very, we can't just ignore.
No,
we got to be fair.
I mean, they would do it to us.
I would hope so. Yeah. Well, I hope we wouldn't do this.
Well, correct.
Coming up next, with Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com, take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com. And just to prove we aren't Homer shills and protecting anything and anything having to do with our own company.
The shield.
We are we're throwing one of our... East Coast colleagues into Don't Do This today.
Ooh, man.
Story that came out that Philadelphia radio host Howard Eskin, long time sports talker in Philadelphia WIP, which
calls
is
himself the King, by the way,
which is an Odyssey station, has been banned from Citizens Bank Park for the rest of the season after an investigation found that he had made unwanted advances toward one of the Aramark employees who works at Citizens Bank Park, the food service company that works the concession stands and the suites. We don't have now exact details of what happened.
My guess is the suite is where it was.
Other than there was an unwanted kiss involved.
Oh, my God, dude.
WIP's parent company, Odyssey, confirmed the incident, said they take matters of that nature very seriously. Just so we all know, they take it very seriously. And with the Phillies' approval, They have they've banned Howard from returning to Citizens Bank Park for the rest of the year.
Now, he's got his credential pulled, man.
But he's not being suspended. He's going to remain on the air, continuing to do his show.
Really?
Just can't go to the ballpark anymore.
Huh.
Is that enough?
I think...
I mean, they did an investigation. There's no criminal charges filed.
There's not.
I don't think so. He attempted to give a woman an unwanted kiss.
The Aramark lady.
An attempt is, but it's a failed attempt, apparently. Leaned in, but
still
didn't.
A. That's still
it's
a
creepy.
That's yes. still a.
He didn't want it.
She didn't want it.
She didn't want it. Yeah, it happened in the CP Rankin Club, described as an exclusive Ooh. Area, Citizens Bank Park. Seats between the dugouts. So.
He's 72 years old.
Attempted to kiss the woman as she backed away.
Oh my God!
Leaned in, she leaned back.
No,
no, that, we're not going there.
You ever gone in for the kiss and gotten rejected?
Ooh.
It's not a good feeling. I've done it.
No, I'm like, I'm the
like,
one.
Like on a date.
Hold not back
a,
no. or hold just on, the
not,
cheek.
Not a stranger. I've never walked to somebody on the street. Hey, what's up? Huh? No?
Not have the you ever,
like
Petco
a date.
Or
like
have a, you ever been at, you know, Grand Ole Barbecue at the ballpark, leaned in for the kiss, and then didn't work out?
Oh,
no, no.
No,
sorry, I thought there was something that... No,
no, no, no, no, okay. There's a connection. I guess there's not.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah, I've done it like on a date. And like, you know, the end of the date comes and you go and
no.
Like, oh, no, no.
They did the back away?
Yeah, I've done
like,
the back.
Because you can do like also, they'll do the turn. Like,
I've got
maybe
the turn.
Get the cheek.
Yeah, I've had the turn for sure. Got the cheek.
I'm the kind of guy who always waited way too long. Like,
yeah, I see that.
What have you been waiting for? Like, I expected this like 3 dates ago.
Ben's just another date with no physical contact. She's like, whenever you're ready, bud. Yeah.
Polite handshake at the end
yeah,
of the date.
Yeah, I've definitely done the polite handshake. But, you know, sometime, like, this is a good rule of thumb here from Elisa. Good rule of thumb. Never kiss a random person while they're working. Absolutely. You go get a drink at a bar.
I'm going to take it a step further. Never kiss anybody when they're working. Even if it's your spouse. If they're working, they're working.
Yeah,
there's other times for kissing. Not when someone's working.
That is, yeah, that's still I don't, when, sexual like, assault under the
when
law.
When Shelly's working at the Seagull and she's behind the, you know, she's in the kitchen working, I don't lean in for a kiss. It's not the time for it.
I don't go in to Hannah's open houses and try
no,
to get a kiss.
Exactly. They're working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're also our wives. I still get the turn away from my wife. I mean, if I'm being completely forthright, I'll still go in for one and get shunned.
Will you be banned from Petco Park for the rest of the year if that happens?
If I'm...
Yeah, you try to kiss Hannah. She doesn't want it. Should Odyssey ban you from Petco Park?
She would ban me from our house, but she needs my help. So... She's not going to. That's gnarly by that guy. He should be suspended, I think, at least, right? Some sort of punishment. Still on the air.
It's a bad look.
It is.
If you're Odyssey, if you're his boss, if you're his program director, you're like, dude.
I mean, what if he honestly totally misread the situation? Thought
that's
there was something
what he said.
There.
And thought, like, he was, thought there was something there.
And then once she backed away, she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
This is such a sensitive story. It's hard to do.
Bro, this blew my mind.
Yeah, it was everywhere yesterday, and I got people sending it to me saying, you guys are going to mention this tomorrow. I said, I read it, and I kind of looked at it, and I went, yeah, I mean, I think it's important. Player safety is massively important, whether it's, and we're talking about unwanted advances from a male. This is unwanted advances from a female, and posting things on Twitter like this, and there's a Twitter account yesterday that posted, and her handle is Bo Bichette's wife. And it's Cassie with a bunch of numbers. It says she took 3 different pictures of Bo Bichette while he was clearly adjusting his cup. Baseball players do it all the time. It's more like a tick now on the field, honestly. Like, you check your cup, you know, move it around, whatever. That's just what we do and always have. And she tweeted 3 different times. I got him looking at me twice. He was pulling at his... She says it calls it a
spring
pecker. It's pecker. So you know what, Bo? You're done. Tomorrow, I'm wearing my skimpiest outfit. I'm going to tease TF the F out of you. See how you like it. But in other words, I can't wait to see you tomorrow, Bo Bear. And it didn't stop there. I mean, somebody like quote tweeted and said, hey, like, this is over the line behavior. And then if you go a little bit deeper into her account, her Instagram account, I mean, it is straight up straight up stalking of Bo Bichette. And so, yeah, I'm sure Toronto.
So is this been, just like a weirdo on Twitter, or is she like hanging out outside of the player exits?
She's at a lot of the games. She's taking pictures at a lot of the games. And it's like, man, that's where it. We all got our favorite players. We all have our favorite female players. Whatever it may be. We all admire athletes. But she has crossed the line severely here. Now, the other thing is I don't know, you know, I don't know how all there she is mentally. When you see stuff like this, you're like, I don't want to make fun of somebody that has an affliction, but this has to be addressed. It's
have you ever had a stalker being on radio? And
no, not really. Not a female stalker.
No, I mean,
I have men stalkers.
Like Corey Stewart and like normal stalkers.
Yeah, normal stalkers.
Normal stalkers like Corey Stewart.
Yeah, Corey Stewart.
It's the normal ones. They're fine.
No, I mean, I've had like dudes that had it out for me, certainly, but never like. Never anything like this. This is gnarly.
No, our stalkers are all really positive and
yeah, totally.
Mostly good guys.
Yeah. Totally. So really, really creepy stuff. I mean, Bo Bichette probably finishes the game last night. He's like, why am I trending on Twitter? And you see that and you're like, oh my God. And it's her in a bunch of games, him in the background. It's pretty creepy stuff. So right, finally, just mind your P's and Q's out there.
Finally, quick do this.
D-D, mega do-do.
Really just want to give some best wishes out to a former Ben and Woods guest who unbelievably always has a positive attitude, even though life has dealt him a number of blows in recent years, to Dick Vitale, who had cancer, came back and went through another surgery to remove a cancerous lymph node this week, but posts on social media, says, hey, you know, gonna beat this again. He's 85 years old. Pic of him, two thumbs up, hospital bed. Said, you know, he's hoping for good positive results from the test that are coming forward, but the guy has, twice been diagnosed with cancer before. This is number three. Just continues to battle. Always has a good attitude about it, even into his 80s. When we had him on before, it just seems like a really positive, great guy. Love Dick Vitale and wish him the very best.
Oh, and how about a little extra to do this?
What
Jackson Merrill's just been named the Rookie of the Month, my friends. Ooh. Congratulations. There you go. Look at that.
I have the numbers for you for June. I actually put those together yesterday and didn't share them. His June was absolutely insane. Jackson Merrill went 33 for 103, 7 doubles, 9 homers, 20 runs batted in. It's a 320 average, 650 slugging, 996 OPS in the month of June. Which has put him in the lead for all outfielders in the National League and wins above replacement at 2.6. Not center fielders, all National League outfielders. Go by war. He's been the best outfielder in the National League, even better than Jurickson.
How jarring was it to see him make an error last night?
Yeah.
Jarring.
Bobble ball.
Jarring, though. I was like, he finally, he is human after all. Guy took an extra base. Wyatt Langford, too. I don't want to do that with him, but that was wild.
When you smoke enough balls off the fence and center, eventually the center fielder is going to bobble one. You know, you just like, okay, this is like the ninth ball I've had to pick up off the fence today.
Bro, he was running his ass off last night out in the outfield, man. Yeah, they were barreling balls.
And by the way, Jeffrey reminds everybody, there's only an hour and a half left until 9 o'clock to vote.
Vote it up!
At MLB.com/vote, the final All-Star vote. They had an update on some of the tallies yesterday. So, in the outfield, Jurickson Profar is second, and Fernando Tatis is third. So, technically, the Padres could get two starters, even though Tatis is unlikely to play. He would officially be an All-Star starter. That goes down in his baseball card and record book, so you can vote for both of them. Luis Arraez was down about 10%, I think, to Ketel Marte, and man, he was pretty far behind Alec Boehm. I don't know if that one is going to change. Alec Boehm probably deserves it based on the first half of the season compared to Manny's, but please vote for Jurickson at least. Get in there. Make sure that he gets to go to that All-Star game in a couple of weeks back in Texas where the Padres are right now, because you only have until 9 o'clock this morning. And then this evening, I think 4 o'clock, they're going to announce the starters for the National and American League All-Stars coming up. And cross your fingers that at least Jurickson is on there for the Padres.
100%. He's got to be. So get your votes in. What, you just get one?
One vote nowadays. One vote. Okay. So just get your vote in today. I mean, one vote per email account. So if you want to, if you have multiple accounts like most of us do, you could get, you know, spam emails from MLB at all your accounts going forward.
Super fun.
You can opt out. Do you ever feel like when you opt out that they don't send you those emails afterwards? Like, I do not want to receive marketing emails from you.
I click no on the boxes. I do too. Sure
when
that
I can't. Sometimes like you don't have to check the box to proceed.
I also feel
there's
bad.
Like a contest involved. Yeah. They like make you check the box.
I also feel bad sometimes when and I then, unsubscribe.
Once every, and then like, you unsubscribe. Months, but I go and unsubscribe on all my junk email.
But does it always? But I still get some of the emails even after I unsubscribe.
I don't think you're doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't trust them.
Nope.
All right, that's don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot of guests coming up on a Big League Wednesday, including Brett Boone, Nick Hundley. You know, Sirius is coming up later. It's going to be a busy rest of the show. Settle in. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's funny. We had a Beverly Hills Cop question in Take on Woods earlier.
Yeah.
And Brett Boone's coming on at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And he chatted with Taggart.
Love him.
From Beverly Hills Cop. Today is the day that the sequel, the fourth movie, Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F, hits Netflix.
I'm into it.
Are you into it?
Yeah.
Now, one was good.
One was great. One was great.
Two was actually not bad at
Two
all.
Two was badass.
Three, I don't even remember.
It was at an amusement park.
Three, I couldn't tell you anything about it. Not even sure I've seen it, actually.
I saw it.
I feel like I've only seen like bits and pieces of the third one.
Are we optimistic about four here?
No, not at all.
Everyone old?
Yes.
I mean, they're all coming back, though?
I did not see Judge Reinhold in it.
Okay, I never bought him as a detective, even
really?
In Beverly Hills. That was the one thing that bothered me about the movie.
Let's see.
He was too goofy to be a cop.
Well, listen, Victor Maitland was
in it.
Oh, is he in it? Okay.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it.
All right, yeah, I did see him in there. Victor Maitland, that guy, was a stone-cold...
Great villain.
Great villain.
Great villain.
And then his henchman, the guy that rolled with him, that Axel threw over the table, electric.
I mean, Taggart, he was a cop, the boss, the captain.
Bogomil.
He was great.
Is he still alive? Because he's got to be...
Yeah, he probably not at this point.
Bogomil. He was awesome. That movie is the best.
I mean, you know, 40 years. Like that.
It's 40
it's been
years
40 ago. Years since it came out. Right? 1984, so.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? This is my favorite. I mean, it's just such an elite movie.
I mean, we can get an update from Booney, I guess, on how Taggart's doing.
Well, I saw Taggart years ago.
I mean, he's got to be pretty old now, too.
We were at the old station, and I think it was, I don't know if the station was doing it, but like, I think Kaplan or Brown or somebody texted me like, hey, man, come up to Morgan's Run. There's a bunch of celebrities up here, and Taggart is here. I'm like, from Beverly Hills Cop? I'm on my way. I went up. I got a picture with him. I got to find it.
Petey says, it's a comedy movie, Ben. I get it, but all the other actors felt like pretty in place, which is why it was such a great movie.
I love Billy. I thought Billy was great. Billy Rosewood. He was fantastic. Oh, man, they take him to the strip club, you know?
It's He's great. Like the Ben of cops.
He's the Ben of cops. Yeah. It was so good. Yeah, I'll watch it. Probably watch it tonight. And it's probably not going to be good, but I'm into it. I love that. I loved Axel Foley. He was the coolest guy ever when I was a kid.
Let's check traffic. We'll come back. It is the 4th of July holiday for a lot of us. This is the last day of the work week. Hopefully, same out there for all the tier ones. But we'll be right back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Now's your turn.
Thank you. I mean, you never really grow out of the 4th of July. It's always fun to barbecue and watch some fireworks. But my kids are older. It's not quite the obsession. Your kids are still, I mean, what are you planning tomorrow?
We're going to go to a drone show instead of of fireworks. They do the, you know, the Big Bay Boom and all that. And I'm into it. I mean, I'm into it except for, hey, you got to go down at 4 a.m. and grab a spot. Like, that's, you know me, I'm not doing it.
My first year in radio working in promotions, I was there all day long.
I bet, dude. I bet it's
105.7 Max FM was the soundtrack for the Big Bay Boom.
That wasn't the one, the Big Bay Bust, was it?
No.
Now that's the most memorable one ever. Remember the year all of the fireworks went off at the same moment?
Put us in like Ubers to get down there at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Fireworks were like at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you got to go and reserve. People are probably reserving it like tomorrow. Or what's today? The 3rd?
Today.
They're like reserving tonight. It today, tonight, camping out down there. I mean, I like fireworks. So I've seen enough to know that I'm not going to go to a fireworks show that makes me go, ooh, like I've never seen it before.
Now, a drone show, though, you might.
Now, a drone show. I'm excited. So we're excited about that. We're going to the drone show, drone light show. I think it's better for the kids. It's a little scary, you know, the loud booms and all that. And, I mean, I played with fireworks so much as a kid.
Yeah, it's basically like an equivalent to symbolism for war.
You're right.
Rocket's red glare.
It's scary.
It's kind of scary. Yeah.
And, of course, remember, if you have pets, it's the worst night of the year for them. You know, the ones that go off in the neighborhood at, like, midnight, those are the ones that make me insane.
Those M80s.
Yeah, the M80s. Bam! You're like,
or the ones that make the screeching noise.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, where I grew up.
Do that again. Sounds like a cat.
It did sound like a cat. Where I grew up in Texas, I mean, Ben, I was like 8 in the backyard, like, watch this. Like, it was just a part of my youth. And there were stands on every single corner, and you would come home with bags. My parents, actually, they had a lake house later in life, and this was out in a little town called Tool, Texas. And you can only imagine the fireworks stands.
T-O-O-L?
T-O-O-L. And you go out there in Tool, Texas. It's right next to Gun Barrel City, by the way. That's a true story. And you go out there, you're like, yeah, I'll spend $200. And you come home, and my dad would just shake his head. My brother and I out there, 14 Coors Lights deep. Woo! Lighting them, and they just go up and into the lake and everything else. Terrible. It's
this
terrible.
Is how we get a Jason Pierre-Paul situation
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, bro. I was so scared after a while. When that story came out, when he blew his fingers off, I was like, I think I may be done with the old fireworks for now. It just doesn't have the appeal to me that it did when I was a kid. But we used to do, we've told the story before, the Roman candle wars on a tennis court. You like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone's holding Roman candles, shooting them at each other, and you're jumping out of the way. And I mean, it's very
like
dangerous.
Dodgeball,
stuff.
But dodgeball with explosives.
With Roman candles.
That's smart, safe.
And I really like, now that I sit here today, having gotten through it, I don't regret any of it. It was a lot of fun.
I was a very nervous child. The
shocked.
The only one that I, the only firework I would ever do, the
sparklers.
And I would definitely drop it before anyone came close.
The poppets. So you never like lit like the big bottle rockets or the tubes. I mean, there are tubes that are the size of this thing filled with gunpowder and everything else. And you're like, all right, bro, light it. You run away. The worst is when it would tip over. And, you know, you never knew it was going to go. It was so dangerous.
And, of course, living here, I mean, we've seen about a dozen wildfires this week. You do that, and
smart.
You're not careful. You're
going
to start a fire. We've got a record heat wave expected for this weekend. So the last thing we need is people lighting things on fire in San Diego and burning the entire city down as well.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Is that the Big Bay bust?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Kevin said there's someone out there in the U.S. that doesn't know they won't have 10 fingers on Friday. Yeah, that's exactly right. And probably somewhere in Arizona, Texas, somewhere like that. It goes nuts. So, yeah, I think the drone show is going to be cool. I think they're going to like it. And it's a little bit more low-key.
I was talking to my wife about it. Local, grew up in San Diego. I moved here in 2009. And for the first 19 years of my life, the 4th of July was like my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Summer, up in Washington, if you didn't have a lake house, somebody had a lake house.
It's the Wild West.
Somebody had a boat. You could go to like the reservation and get the really good fireworks. You could light them off in front of your house on your street.
On your street.
You can't. And like, I moved down here, and it's like, if everybody did that, San Diego would burn to the ground.
It would burn to the ground.
And I get that. And then Megan was like, yeah, everybody would just go to the beach when you could drink on the beach.
Yeah.
That got outlawed. Like, I'm not going to the beach. I'm not going to sit in traffic for 3.5 hours, park a mile away from the beach. Like it's a nightmare going to the beach
before. I think it's a competing news station that always goes down and does the Big Bay boom. You don't have to do that, which is good, because you know they'd send you down there.
They would. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For
I
12,
can see them.
12 hours.
Totally
shift.
Telling me, Ben, we're going to need to anchor the fireworks coverage again on the 4th of July.
What
do you say?
Along with Kimberly
there.
Hunt, and we're here for the Big Bay boom.
Boom.
No.
Man.
I'm more than happy letting another station take
care
of that.
3 hours to go until the Big Bay boom.
What's your least favorite 4th of July barbecue side dish?
Beans.
Beans.
Baked beans.
Oh. For me, it's the macaroni salad.
Oh, I love mac salad.
Oh, I hate macaroni salad. It's gross.
Love.
Cold noodles
with
mayonnaise.
Delicious.
It's horrible.
Absolutely
it's the worst
delicious.
Thing. That's the worst thing possible.
The best is like a burger, a dog, potato salad, mac salad.
I also
iced tea. don't watermelon.
Like, I don't like watermelon either.
Oh, hind. Just bought some yesterday.
Remember when they used to have seeds in them? They were black and you had to spit them out? Yep. Somehow they've...
It's called GMO, buddy. Genetically modified.
That stopped happening.
Yeah, you know what? Do whatever you got to do to me. As long as there's no seeds in my watermelon, I'm fine. I love the 4th of July, too. I think
they just went away one year. Yeah. It's like... when I was growing up, they had seeds, and then now they don't.
Deviled eggs. Deviled eggs, so
good.
I like
deviled eggs.
So, so good. Frijoles in the chat says, thanks for the shout-out, Woodsy. I actually meant baked beans, buddy, not you, my friend.
Yeah, we played the video but of the Big Bang Blast.
I don't want beans at my
burger. Or hot dog?
Both. One of each.
Both. Well, yeah, one of each. That's the cop-out answer.
No, no, you got to have one of each.
If you had to choose, though.
Burger. Oh, burger.
See, now, I always would choose burgers, but on the 4th of July, because of the, you know, hot dog eating contest, hot dog seems appropriate on the 4th of July.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm excited for it. I mean, we're doing a staycation, so we're just going to be chilling anyway, but yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I like the 4th of July. Our nation's independence.
The video that goes around every year that murders me is the aerial footage over Los Angeles on the 4th of July. Have you seen that?
Like, no.
There's the fireworks shows from over the city.
Everywhere.
From like a helicopter.
And you get high up and you're above like 70 of them at the same time.
It's going nuts.
Yeah. It's, you know, listen, be careful out there. All right. You can get in a lot of trouble for buying illegal fireworks, I've heard. A lot. So be careful out there. Please don't light them off my neighborhood. Can't stand it.
It's a Big League Wednesday. Brett Boone is going to join us when we come back. Second half of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's funny. We had a Beverly Hills Cop question in Take on Woods earlier.
Yeah.
And Brett Boone's coming on at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And he chatted with Taggart.
Love him.
From Beverly Hills Cop. Today is the day that the sequel, the fourth movie, Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F, hits Netflix.
I'm into it.
Are you into it?
Yeah.
Now, one was good.
One was great. One was great.
Two was actually not bad at
Two
all.
Two was badass.
Three, I don't even remember.
It was at an amusement park.
Three, I couldn't tell you anything about it. Not even sure I've seen it, actually.
I saw it.
I feel like I've only seen like bits and pieces of the third one.
Are we optimistic about four here?
No, not at all.
Everyone old?
Yes.
I mean, they're all coming back, though?
I did not see Judge Reinhold in it.
Okay, I never bought him as a detective, even
really?
In Beverly Hills. That was the one thing that bothered me about the movie.
Let's see.
He was too goofy to be a cop.
Well, listen, Victor Maitland was
in it.
Oh, is he in it? Okay.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it.
All right. Yeah, I did see him in there. Victor Maitland, that guy, was a stone-cold...
Great villain.
Great villain.
Great villain.
And then his henchman, the guy that rolled with him, that Axel threw over the table. Electric.
I mean, Taggart, he was a cop. The boss, the captain.
Bogomil.
He was great.
Is he still alive? Because he's got to be...
Yeah, he probably not at this point.
Bogomil. He was awesome. That movie is the best.
I mean, you know, 40 years. Like that.
It's been 40 years since
it came out. Right? 1984, so.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? This is my favorite. I mean, it's just such an elite movie.
I mean, we can get an update from Booney, I guess, on how Taggart's doing.
Well, I saw Taggart years ago.
I mean, he's got to be pretty old now, too.
We were at the old station, and I think it was, I don't know if the station was doing it, but like, I think Kaplan or Brown or somebody texted me like, hey, man, come up to Morgan's Run. There's a bunch of celebrities up here, and Taggart is here. I'm like, from Beverly Hills Cop? I'm on my way. I went up. I got a picture with him. I got to find it.
Petey says, it's a comedy movie, Ben. I get it, but all the other actors felt like pretty in place, which is why it was such a great movie.
I love Billy. I thought Billy was great. Billy Rosewood. He was fantastic. Oh, man, they take him to the strip club, you know?
It's He's great. Like the Ben of cops.
He's the Ben of cops. Yeah. It was so good. So good. Yeah, I'll watch it. Probably watch it tonight. And it's probably not going to be good, but I'm into it. I love that. I loved Axel Foley. He was the coolest guy ever when I was a kid.
Let's check traffic. We'll come back. It is the 4th of July holiday for a lot of us. This is the last day of the work week. Hopefully, same out there for all the tier ones. But we'll be right back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Now's your turn.
Thank you. I mean, you never really grow out of the 4th of July. It's always fun to barbecue and watch some fireworks. But my kids are older, it's not quite the obsession. Your kids are still, I mean, what are you planning tomorrow?
We're going to go to a drone show instead of of fireworks. They do the, you know, the Big Bay Boom and all that, and I'm into it. I mean, I'm into it except for, hey, you got to go down at 4 a.m. and grab a spot. Like, that's, you know me, I'm not doing it.
My first year in radio working in promotions, I was there. All day long.
I bet, dude. I bet it's
105.7 Max FM was the soundtrack for the Big Bay Boom.
That wasn't the one, the Big Bay Bust, was it?
No.
Oh, no. Now that's the most memorable one ever. Remember the year all of the fireworks went off at the same moment?
They put us in like Ubers to get down there at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Fireworks were like at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you got to go and reserve. People are probably reserving it like tomorrow. Or what's today? The 3rd?
Today.
They're like reserving tonight. It today, tonight, camping out down there. I mean, I like fireworks. So I've seen enough to know that I'm not going to go to a fireworks show that makes me go, ooh, like I've never seen it before.
Now, a drone show, though, you might.
Now, a drone show. I'm excited. So we're excited about that. We're going to the drone show, drone light show. I think it's better for the kids. It's a little scary, you know, the loud booms and all that. And, I mean, I played with fireworks so much as a kid.
Yeah, it's basically like an equivalent to symbolism for war.
You're right.
Rocket's red glare.
It's scary.
It's kind of scary. Yeah.
And of course, remember, if you have pets, it's the worst night of the year for them. You know, the ones that go off in the neighborhood at like midnight, those are the ones that make me insane.
Those M80s.
Yeah, the M80s. Bam, you're like,
or the ones that make the screeching noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, where I grew up.
Do that again. Sounds like a cat.
It did sound like a cat. Where I grew up in Texas, I mean, Ben, I was like 8 in the backyard, like, watch this. Like, it was just a part of my youth. And there were stands on every single corner, and you would come home with bags. My parents, actually, they had a lake house later in life, and this was out in a little town called Tool, Texas. And you can only imagine the fireworks stands.
T-O-O-L?
T-O-O-L. And you go out there in Tool, Texas. It's right next to Gun Barrel City, by the way. That's a true story. And you go out there, you're like, yeah, I'll spend $200. And you come home, and my dad would just shake his head. My brother and I out there, 14 Coors Lights deep. Woo! Lighting them, and they just go up and into the lake and everything else. Terrible. It's
this
terrible.
Is how we get a Jason Pierre-Paul situation
exactly,
as well.
Bro. I was so scared after a while. When that story came out, when he blew his fingers off, I was like, I think I may be done with the old fireworks for now. It just doesn't have the appeal to me that it did when I was a kid. But we used to do, we've told the story before, the Roman candle wars on a tennis court. You like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone's holding Roman candles, shooting them at each other, and you're jumping out of the way. And I mean, it's very
like
dangerous.
Dodgeball,
stuff.
But dodgeball with explosives.
With Roman candles.
That's smart, safe.
And I really, like, now that I sit here today, having gotten through it, I don't regret any of it. It was a lot of fun.
I was a very nervous child. The,
shocked.
The only one that the only firework I would ever do, the sparklers. And I would definitely drop it before anyone came close.
The poppets. So you never like lit like the big bottle rockets or the tubes. I mean, there are tubes that are the size of this thing filled with gunpowder and everything else. And you're like, all right, bro, light it. You run away. The worst is when it would tip over. And, you know, you never knew it was going to go. It was so dangerous.
And, of course, living here, I mean, we've seen about a dozen wildfires this week. You do that, and
smart.
You're not careful, you're
going
to start a fire. We've got a record heat wave expected for this weekend. So the last thing we need is people lighting things on fire in San Diego and burning the entire city down as well.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Is that the Big Bay Bust?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Kevin said there's someone out there in the U.S. that doesn't know they won't have 10 fingers on Friday. Yeah, that's exactly right. And probably somewhere in Arizona, Texas, somewhere like that. It goes nuts. So, yeah, I think the drone show is going to be cool. I think they're going to like it. And it's a little bit more low-key.
I was talking to my wife about it. Local, grew up in San Diego. I moved here in 2009. And for the first 19 years of my life, the 4th of July was like my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Summer, up in Washington, if you didn't have a lake house, somebody had a lake house.
It's the Wild West.
Somebody had a boat. You could go to like the reservation and get the really good fireworks. You could light them off in front of your house on your street.
On your street.
You can't. And like, I moved down here, and it's like, if everybody did that, San Diego would burn to the ground.
It would burn to the ground.
And I get that. And then Megan was like, yeah, everybody would just go to the beach when you could drink on the beach.
Yeah.
That got outlawed. Like, I'm not going to the beach. I'm not going to sit in traffic for 3.5 hours, park a mile away from the beach. Like, it's a nightmare going to the beach.
So,
now
like,
before.
I think it's a competing news There's station that always goes down and does the Big Bay Boom. You don't have to do that, which is good, because you know they'd send you down there.
They would. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For
I
12,
can see them
12 hours.
Totally
shift.
Telling me, Ben, we're going to need to anchor the fireworks coverage again on the 4th of July.
What do you say?
Ben Higgins.
What do you say?
Along with Kimberly
there?
Hunt, and we're here for the Big Bay Boom. Boom.
Man.
I'm
here.
More than happy letting another station take
three
care of
hours
that.
To go until the Big Bay Boom.
What's your least favorite 4th of July barbecue side dish?
Beans.
Beans.
Baked beans.
Oh. For me, it's the macaroni salad.
Oh, I love macaroni.
Oh, I hate macaroni salad. It's gross.
Love.
Cold noodles
with
mayonnaise.
Delicious.
It's horrible.
Absolutely
it's the worst
delicious.
Thing. That's the worst thing possible.
The best is like a burger, a dog, potato salad, mac salad.
I also
iced tea, don't watermelon.
Like, I don't like watermelon either.
Oh, mind.
Just bought some yesterday.
Remember when they used to have seeds in them? They were black and you had to spit them out.
Yep.
Somehow they've.
It's called GMO, buddy. Genetically modified.
That stopped happening.
Yeah, you know what? Do whatever you got to do to me. As long as there's no seeds in my watermelon, I'm fine. I love the 4th of July too. I think
they just went away one year.
Yeah.
It's like. When I was growing up, they had seeds, and then now they don't.
Deviled eggs. Deviled eggs, so
I
good.
I like deviled eggs.
So, so good. Frijoles in the chat says, thanks for the shout-out, Woodsy. I actually meant baked beans, buddy, not you, my friend.
Yeah, we played the video
but
of the
I don't
Big
want,
Blast.
I don't want beans at my
burger
barbecue.
Or hot dog?
Both. One of each.
Both. Burger. Well,
yeah,
that's
one of each.
That's the cop-out answer.
No, no, you got to have one of each.
If you had to choose, though.
Burger. Oh, burger.
See, now, I always would choose burgers, but on the 4th of July, because of the, you know, hot dog eating contest, hot dog seems appropriate on the 4th of July.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm excited for it. I mean, we're doing a staycation, so we're just going to be chilling anyway, but yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I like the 4th of July. Our nation's independence.
The video that goes around every year that murders me is the aerial footage over Los Angeles on the 4th of July. Have you seen that? Like,
no.
There's the fireworks shows from over the city.
Everywhere.
From like a helicopter.
And you get high up and you're above like 70
I mean,
of them at
the
same time.
Going,
yeah.
It's
oh, yeah, yeah.
Going
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah. It's, you know, listen, be careful out there. All right. You can get in a lot of trouble for buying illegal fireworks, I've heard. A lot. So be careful out there. Please don't light them off my neighborhood. Can't stand it.
It's a Big League Wednesday. Brett Boone is going to join us when we come back. Second half of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.